Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, Alana.
Hi, Sasha.
I'm so happy to be back with you. This week is, I've been looking forward to this week for months now. Months.
I'm so excited.
This was a plan in advance podcast. We have been counting down the days. We both are huge fans of our next guest. She is actually maybe my favorite writer of this time. Dolly Alderton. She wrote Ghosts. She wrote Everything I Know About Love. But there's a lot of crossed out stuff in the title, so sometimes I got confused. I live by Dolly. I truly do. Her word, I mean, for friendships, for relationships. In fact, I was reading Ghosts the week I got engaged. I was not expecting to get engaged. So all my engagement photos of me showing the ring to the camera, Ghosts is just in the background, this beautiful pink cover. But the content, as we all know, it's not so fitting for an engagement. But I immediately messaged Dolly and I was like, Dolly, I have to tell you, first, I'm obsessed with your writing. And secondly, I got engaged, yay, while reading Ghosts.
Well, do you know what? I'm so glad that it's a good luck charm for someone. Like, something quite crazy that happened to me with my first book, Everything I Know About Love, the memoir, is that people started using it for speeches, for readings in their wedding. Every summer I get like videos of people with that being these very moving readings, celebrating their love, which is like beautiful. But when my love life is like disastrous, which is most of the time, it's like, why is this not working for me? The reason why this is such a good podcast to be on right now is for lots of various reasons. I've moved back home with my mum and dad. There's some work going on with my flat right now. So not only am I like living with my mum and dad and my little cat here, I'm like living like a teenage girl again, like sitting and watching news with them, like rolling news they're obsessed with all night, while I'm like on my phone texting my friends and then like going to bed at 10 and texting my friends some more. So I feel like I've so been plunged back into that teenage girl world.
Oh, this timing. Oh my
God. I cannot wait to hear, because you realize you're our first guest that's across the pond. We have never had someone from England on this pod.
And also my friend who's from England, she was like, oh, you're going to have some trouble with this one because we don't have the same, there's no seventh grade. It's different grade. Right. Like there's no, and she's like, so good luck.
Don't worry. I've already prepped in advance. I've Googled what seventh grade is. So it's between 11 and 12 years old, isn't it?
So seventh is, yes, 12.
Yes. It's like 11, 12, 13.
We like to go from 11 to like 16. That's kind of our sweet spot. We can go into 18.
Honestly, but we kind of dabble in our whole lives. We have a starting point and then who knows where we end up. It's really just as embarrassing as you want to get.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
But we usually feel like around, you know, 11, 12, 13 is where all the good stuff is.
We both believe that who you are in seventh grade, you are today. And it's a daunting idea, but we both firmly believe that we are forever our seventh graders. It's like how you fall in public, it brings you back to that seventh grade. And you are who you are when you're falling in public. And that is a seventh grader.
That's so true on so many levels. And I'm so fascinated by this subject because 11 to 16 was the only period of my life that I can say, like, hand on heart, truly, I was like an unhappy person. It was like the most difficult time in my life. And I always knew when I was in it that it was going to be the most difficult time in my life. I knew that whatever life threw at me, when I'm like 80 with going through hip surgery, I knew that would be an easier, better time in life than that period of time. And so far, I've been proven right year on year. And no matter how difficult adulthood gets, there's basically not a morning of my life I don't wake up where I don't just like put my hands in prayer and say, I'm so happy. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not 13 anymore.
Incredible. 100%. What incredible. 100%. So talk to us about 12, 13. Who was Dolly at this age?
So, okay, and I so believe that thing about like that age sort of like it fixes you in so many ways, like the essence of who you are. And I also think when you get close and properly intimate with people, be it friendship or romance, the 13-year-old in them is so apparent. You can see even, and everyone's trying to hide that 13-year-old so hard, I think, most of us. And like you can just see, it becomes so clear to you what that little person would have been. So for me, it was like, and again, this just like tracks so much with the woman I am now. I was like, fantastically and worryingly and concerningly horny. I was like delusional and fantastical living in my head in and creating little stories. The difference is now I get to like put them in fiction and say this is fiction, whereas like what I did back then was just like go to the playground and tell everyone like a fake story about like being scouted for a band or you know like like I was a big liar. Like I exaggerated and lied, like flights of fancy stories. And it was like, it was never like malicious and it was never to make me look good. It was more just like, I just got lost in my own little like confections in my head, I think. I was obsessed with being a grown up, obsessed with like cigarettes and alcohol. And I was obsessed with the virtual world. So I was obsessed with The Sims, playing The Sims, MSN Messenger, and chat rooms and email. And again, now I suppose the virtual world that I live in, I've sort of made a career out of that because it's in books and stuff. So that's who I was then. And a bit too intense and serious. That's who I was then. And that's who I am now.
Incredible.
That was such a beautiful, Dolly. That was like a beautiful explanation.
This is why she's like my favorite writer. This is why she's my favorite writer. Dolly, I was obsessed with The Sims and Sims Hot Date, which was a version of The Sims where you could go on dates. And that was the one, you know, I used to make them woo woo all the time. It was called woo woo, right? It was called making woo woo.
And they, yes.
No, woohoo. Woohoo.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Woohoo. It's.
Do you know what The Sims is, Alana? Yeah.
I do know what The Sims is. And I always wanted to play The Sims because everyone. Well, the thing is, it's like the big thing when I was. I feel like we're the same age, but like Roller Coaster Tycoon was like the game that like all my friends were playing, which was like
no, you couldn't have sex on Roller Coaster
Tycoon.
You couldn't do woo woo on Roller Coaster Tycoon. At least the version that I had, you couldn't do woo woo on Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I think it's woohoo. We got a woohoo,
woohoo, woohoo, or woo-woo. What is it? Woohoo. Our producer is saying it's woohoo.
What do you think that was? What do you think that was, Sasha, that obsession? Because I remember once being on The Sims all weekend from, and also the other thing that was very crucial about that age and most of that time up until I was about 17 is I had zero contact with boys in real life. So they were like mythical creatures that I heard of, like, you know, like the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot. Like there were like sightings in my local area, I hear, but like I was not, and I went out looking, but like I was not aware that they were in my local area. They were not making contact with me. So there was definite, so all my weekends were either in front of a computer or in a shopping center with girls, like a shopping mall with girls. And I remember one weekend playing The Sims so much that I had, I'd done a hack, which meant the MSN Messenger window could come up while you were playing The Sims.
No way.
I was just going between these two things. And I remember at the end of Sunday, before I went back to school, my eyes were red and gluey. Like I'd given myself like an eye infection from just like staring at a screen from day till night. I was obsessed.
No, Dolly, and you of course knew Rosebud semicolon colon.
Yeah.
And then there was the semicolon colon semicolon.
That's a trick, Alana. So if you do that trick, you can like become a millionaire.
Yeah. But I kept it. I was like, I'm going to have a house where they're starting from the ground up and they're going to work for that money. And then I had a house where it was like all hell breaks loose. Like we do the rosebud. We do a jacuzzi in the kitchen. We're going to go hard on that one. But I was obsessed as well. And I went to an all-girls school, seventh grade. And I was upset. I was boy crazy. And I was it's exactly as you said. I was like woohooing constantly online. And I was cybering. So I was like the cyber queen. But in person, I was very shy with boys.
Sasha, I was exactly the same.
But this is why also reading Dolly, I was like, and I even messaged you this, I think. And I was like, how many people text you and say, oh my God, you and I are so similar? Because I truly read your memoir and I was like, oh, we had the same, everything was so similar. And this is how I feel with Alana.
Alana, were you boy crazy as well?
Oh my God, yes. Like the only thing that I wished for other than a puppy every time it was my birthday was for someone to just like maybe look at me. I was like so obsessed. I mean, we talk about this so much on the pod, but like I was in like a boy girl school. Like Sasha unfortunately went to an all girl school. But the thing is like, I think it was even worse for me because they were so in my face all the time that I was like, why? I didn't know what was going on in anybody's pants. I was like, I want that though. Like, I didn't even know what a penis was. I don't even know what anything was. But like, it was so weird. Like the second that my hormones hit, I was like, there's something that's super fun when we dance, quote unquote. We're not dancing. We're like grinding on each other. And I was like, this feels nice. This feels very nice. And that's like a really, I think the thing that's just so crazy is like when you don't know where to put it, like there's so much energy happening.
Oh,
in your body.
I thought you were talking about like when you don't know where to put it. I thought we were still
don't know where to put the penis. No, I didn't know. Just so you know, I didn't know. I was like, it goes somewhere.
I was like, drive it like a stick
shift. When you don't know where to put it, like in both ways. Yes, I did not know where to put it. And also I did not know where to put my energy.
Yeah.
It was like the most depressed, like the depression. I mean, me and Sasha talk about all, like I was so melodramatic we all were so melodramatic, but like when you said like you pray every night, like thank God that you're not that age anymore. I thank God I'm not that age anymore because everything, like I had like five, it wasn't even just like one boy. I mean, I obsessed with, there was like a roster. Like I obsessed with one boy. His name is Willie St. Marie. We talk about it all the time. God, if he ever listens, every episode I mention him. It's like a drinking game at this point. But like under him, it was like I had four other boys and none of them had a crush on me. And it was like the devastation of like, I felt like I was going to die. I didn't know how to get the energy out. There was nothing. There was nothing. And I missed the cybering. I missed that whole
she
fucking
missed
genre.
It. What a time.
I
though.
Missed it.
What
I was
time.
Like a little baby angel, I guess, even though you are a baby angel, Sasha. But...
No, I was a little devil.
Yeah.
A little devil.
But no, I was. But the thing is like, so for me, I've always been obsessed with England. Like that was like. All I wanted to do when I was younger, I was like, because none of the dudes in America liked me, I was like, I gotta go to England. And I know you're probably gonna like eye roll when I say this, but the reason why I was so obsessed with it is because Skins. I was like, oh my God, they're getting all their energy out for real over there.
You don't need to worry about eye rolls because I am so obsessed with Skins, and Skins is seen as like a really cringe show over here now. That like typifies everything embarrassing about the noughties. Skins is such an important cultural touchstone for me that when 100%. I did, it's so, and I had the same as you where I was like, they were living my fantasy of like, I had so much hormonal energy, romantic energy, like insane manic horny energy, and I couldn't find a collaborator. So it was like, I had nowhere to put it other than in like weird little stories, erotic stories that I would write, or you know, so like with Skins, seeing people that could actually like live out this stuff, and it became so important to me of like this utopian adolescent existence that even now I made a comedy drama for the BBC last year that, like, not to brag, but you know, it was like a big show and it had like great cast, and I kept referencing Skins to the point,
fuck yes,
to the point where my exec was like, you got to stop bringing up Skins, like, not everything, like Go watch your fucking Coppola movie. Like, just go. You can't keep saying that everything is like Skins on this show.
So I had a friend. So my aunt was best friends with someone. Like, her best friend was from London, and she had a daughter named Jamie. And Jamie came and stayed with us for a summer when I was in, I think it was the summer of like 9th grade going into 10th grade. And again, like, my parents were very strict. I had no freedom. I didn't have a boyfriend. I think I had kissed one person at that point, and it was just not good. And she comes over and like hacks the fucking mainframe on my PC goddamn computer, and we get Skins.
Oh,
she shows
God.
Me Skins for the first time. We're literally doing on like Daily Motion, like one of those like weird like off-brand YouTube sites, and like seeing these like kids that were like my age that had freedom. They were like smoking weed, doing pills, like going, I don't know what the fuck it is, going to like the wilderness and having a rave.
Yeah.
Like, I was like so obsessed to the point where I'm going to blow your mind right now, because no one picked up on this. And I was so pissed that no one picked up on this. But if you go back to the Wire music video, my boyfriend in the Wire is Sid from Skins.
Oh my God, with the glasses, that guy. Yeah. Was that you doing like a little reference?
I was so obsessed with Skins that like literally, so like when we were making the music video for The Wire, this is all the way, I think this was in 2012 or 2013, because I was so in love with all of the characters, the director asked like, who do you want to play your boyfriend? And I was like, can we reach out to Sid?
Also, Sasha, what you need to know about this as well, which makes it unbelievably adorable, like unbearably adorable, is that Sid is like, so Alana, like rock star, could have anyone she wants. Sid is probably like the least memorable, attractive, or
I'm
like,
looking up Sid. I'm looking
up Sid. He was like,
he's like the dorky character, yeah. Like the lovable,
oh,
like
Alana? He's like, Alana? This,
you guys, I still think he's so cute. He was like, because he reminded me of me. Like, I was like, you know, like the girl that like, I was like, I'm right here. Like, I'm just,
Alana,
I'm right here.
This
like,
tracks
love me.
When I say it's like, you could have Nick Holt or Sid. It's like, this tracks so
I
much.
Wanted Sid.
I wanted Sid. I love Sid.
And so he, like, I had never spoken to this human before.
This is incredible.
I just,
I'm sorry.
I had never talked to him. Like, it's not like we had like a friendship or something. And I was like, can you do me a favor? It was literally like a cold call. The director of the music video like hit him up and was like, hi. And this was also like, I hate to say early days, but it was early days, hi. And so like we weren't that, I mean, it was like I think right before our first album was coming out, our album had just come out. And like a random person like called him and was like, hey, do you want to come to New York and shoot a music video? And he said, yes.
Alana, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say I don't think he was getting those calls from bands.
He was so sweet though. He honestly, like, it was so funny. I think I looked at his like at this point, Twitter was like the biggest social media. I think at that point,
of course.
Instagram was like just kind of starting.
2011.
And so I think I went on his Twitter and he was like, I'm getting on a plane to go to New York and I don't know if this is real or not. Like, he fully had like faith. He was like, I could show up to New York and this not be real.
Oh,
and
that's why you picked. That's why you must pick the Sids of the world.
He was very sweet. He was very sweet. I haven't spoken to him since that shoot, but he was literally the most professional, sweetest baby angel of all time. Like, I think it was just amazing. But yeah, so like Haim got signed in the UK first. We were like, so a lot of people thought we were British, which is hilarious because I'm the most like California bitch on the block. But we got signed in England. So when I did this like thing, I was like, oh my God, everyone is going to freak out because it's Sid from Skins. Like, it was like such a big fucking deal. But he wasn't wearing the beanie and the glasses because that was like his character. Yeah. He was just wearing contacts. And so no, whenever I say, like, you guys realize Sid from Skins was my boyfriend in The Wire, everyone's like, that was Sid from Skins because he wasn't wearing his Sid costume.
Incredible.
But he is, like, honestly, I don't even know where he is in this life now, but he was very nice to me.
And I had no idea what to expect from this conversation, and I think that is like wilder than beyond my wildest dreams, that anecdote to do with this like quite small Channel 4 show over 10 years ago.
It was huge in my life. And the thing is now, first of all, okay, like let's be honest here. We all wanted to be Effie. I wanted to do was be Effie. I wanted to wear like fishnet tights and a big shirt and a belt. And smear black eyeliner on me. Or we wanted to be, was it her name Cassie? Like, you really love me, Cassie.
Yeah.
Because Cassie was with Sid.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched Skins, it's on Netflix now. So everyone should go binge watch it. It's honestly the most, it was like, because all I had reference to was like Degrassi, which was like the Canadian version of Skins. And it's like the not cool version. It's like, so like, oh no, woe is me. Like there was no craziness. There was like nothing that was like bad. And then all of a sudden I watch Skins and I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? They're fucking in class? Like, what is happening? What's going on over there in England? I gotta get over there. What's happening?
Wait, so Dolly, you said that you smoked cigarettes, like, or you were smoking at 13?
Okay, so you know that question that you ask of like, were you cool when you were in seventh grade?
Yeah, always.
Yes.
Always.
So like, so I have this anecdote that like is so not representative of who I was when I was 12, but it's probably the most important anecdote of when I was 12. And if I said it to people who didn't know me when I was 12, they'd be like, wow, she was like Drew Barrymore. Like when I was 12, I was suspended from school for smoking and drinking. 12. Isn't that crazy now when I think about that?
What did your parents do?
It's like bloody Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver. It's like, well, that's so mental.
Wait, but how did you get caught?
How did you get caught?
It was a group of, it was like a rebellious group. And I always have had this thing of like, I'm more obsessed, like I'm obsessed with boys, still am, but I'm kind of scared of boys. The big, great obsessions and like the great limerence of my life has always been women. And I still have it now that like, when I meet a woman who is like, cool, doesn't give a fuck, beautiful, really smart, really free, particularly bohemian, like to my mind, Jemima Kirk.
Okay, really quickly, when I was in seventh grade, she was my best friend at the time's older sister. She is, you know, so I was one time wearing her boxers because Lola was like, just take Jemima's because I didn't have sleepover clothes. And I was in her boxers and she walks in with her, like she must have been 18 at the time, and just the most, those beautiful, like long hair, big lips, big eyes, and walks in and looks at me and goes, are those my shorts? And I, being like obsessed with, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lola said I could wear them. And then she looked at Lola and she goes, Lola. It was the scariest moment of my, it's like a really defining moment for me, because I had the same obsession with women. I was obsessed with cool older women. So sorry, continue.
No, I mean, I'm just like, I'm so jealous that you get to have that memory in your heart. I'm so jealous of that.
No, it was a bad, bad memory. I'm trying to like MIB it from my brain. I am trying to eternal sunshine that memory. I do not want that memory.
But yeah, like those sorts of women, I think I was like, and I still am a bit like this now. Like the version of it now is for me like a woman who like wears red lipstick and nothing else, and who like smokes rollies, and who is like phenomenally well read but wears it really light. I just have like, I've always had things in my head with like, I just need to impress this type of girl. And like I still have it now that if a woman like that basically said to me like, do you know what I think would be cool and would impress me if you like threw yourself in front of that lorry, I'd be like, okay. In a way I wouldn't do with men. And I think with the smoking and drinking thing, I've always been like, I had a really difficult time as a teenager, but something very clever that I did that I think a lot of teenagers do is I was like cool adjacent. So I would find the hot, cool, amazing women, and then I would come in and basically be like, hey guys, let's cut a deal here. Like, I'm a fat kid. I'm 6 foot, age 13. I am like obsessed with Frank Sinatra and know nothing about bands. And like, your boyfriend is never going to want to kiss me. I'm never ever going to look better than you at a party. So why don't you let me hang out with you, and I'll be like the court jester, and I'll just like make some fun jokes and do dares.
Oh my God, you are us. You are us. That is literally us.
This is us.
That is fucking amazing. That is us.
Us.
That's us.
This is our entire podcast. How
we're cut from the same fucking cloth, Dolly. God damn it.
I knew it.
The story about how you got caught.
So basically, I think that those girls, they were like all smoking and drinking. I'm also the very, very youngest in my year, which I think is incredibly defining to a human soul for the rest of their life. So my birthday is August 31st. I was born at 11:45 at night. If I were born 15 minutes later, I would have been in the year below. The year below.
Oh my God.
So like, it's definitely informed something of the essence of me, of like being this forever youngest person in the year and feeling like I've got lots to prove and, you know, desperate to be an adult like everyone else. And I think I attached to these girls, and they'd all started smoking and drinking, and they would go, it was like an all girls school, but it was I wasn't boarding at the time, but it was a boarding school. So there was like lots of grounds, lots of woodland. And they would go there to drink, like, you know, when you're like a baby drinker, and instead of having like a normal drink, you have like rum, or like you have like,
yes, rum was my gateway alcohol. I started with rum.
Oh, what about hypnotic?
What's hypnotic?
Oh, come on, guys. Britney Spears, blue drink. Oh, hypnotic with a Q at the end. Okay, never mind.
I did not know hypnotic.
Never mind.
Sasha, can you just like leave the pod right now? Thank you. That was crazy. That was a crazy call you just made. Okay, thank you. I'm just kidding. I love you.
I love you too. That was acting, everyone. That was called acting.
Acting.
Alana Haim.
Starring role.
Oh my God. So you got caught. So
don't. I feel very at home conversationally. Like, the only conversation I'm ever comfortable with are like women with three glasses of white wine down them, like squawking so much over each other at a dinner table that they blow the candle out. Like, that's my level of intensity that I feel comfortable with. So I'm very happy.
Obsessed.
Yeah. So then basically what happened was it was this group of like four girls that kept doing it. And then we kept like recruiting some like people that would want to like smoke, like, again, some like really weird old dad cigarette or whatever, and like have like rum and straight gin like in the woodland. And then basically what happened, this is so an all-girls school thing that I'm sure you'll remember, Sasha, that you will not know, Alana, is like, there's nothing at an all-girls school that like a girl loves more than being a double agent. Basically one girl like took it upon herself, because girls are just so fucking bored at all girls schools, and they like need little dramas and jobs for themselves. So some girl like took it upon herself to like pretend to want to come down, get all the like, collect all the intelligence, and then like go back to the teachers.
This
was like,
where
so
is she now?
Typical. Yeah.
Where is she now? Do you know?
Yeah. No, I don't know where she is. I've like done a very healthy thing.
Because she's in the CIA.
She's in the CIA. It's true.
Yeah, yeah. That's why. And then we just got, it was this like huge, it's almost like a public hanging. Like, we became this huge like public thing at school that we all got sent home.
Oh my God.
That's so cool.
That's so cool.
Honestly, worth it. Like, I want to be a part of the bad girls club. Like, I want to be like, you bitch, you sold us out. But I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, I'm just going to like stay home and like play Sims.
It's Clay Sims and Frogger was me, Frogger too. I was obsessed with being cool. Like, so at my all-girls school, I've talked about this so many times, but it was cool to be really smart. That was how you were cool.
Really?
Magna cum laude. There were no rebels at my school. So I took it upon myself to play rebel. But I was too afraid to actually be a rebel. So I'd come into class with sunglasses on so people would think I was high. I would come into, like, I would wear hoodies when you weren't allowed to wear hoodies before classes, I mean, after classes started. And then my teachers would be like, take off your hoodie. And I'd be like, yeah. I mean, it was Eminem 8 Mile. But I was very, I couldn't be cool though. Because no one thought that was cool.
Was cool.
It wasn't cool to be what I thought. So what you're saying right now is, like, that to me was my ideal, like, go into the woods and smoke cigarettes with, like, cool girls.
Yeah.
That was what I wanted.
And the other thing as well, like, I don't know, I think we're all around a similar-ish age. I think you guys are a little bit younger than me. But, like, me and my friend were talking the other day that, I don't know if it's like this for teenagers now, but there was definitely a thing with our generation of, like, you know, you were talking about the melodrama of, like, being really intense. Like, I always remember as a teenager being, like, really angry that I didn't have, like, a darker life. Like that my life was, like, so normal, so middle class, so nice, so comfortable, so drama free, the sort of childhood that, like, most people dream of, like, zero trauma. And all I wanted was a bit of trauma. I was, like, so desperate for it. I would have done anything for, like, some horrific thing to happen to me.
I mean, now I go to London all the time now with my band Heim. The thing that blows my mind so much is, like, the amount of freedom that, like, teenagers have in England. Like, I went to a park. First of all, I went to a park and everyone, I mean, now every British person is going to, like, eye roll at me because I'm being so American. But, like, everyone was just drinking in the park.
Yeah,
and
we're obsessed with drinking in the park.
How are you not getting arrested? Like, you can get arrested in America for drinking in a park. But then I'll tell you the thing. I wish I remember what park I went to, but like I, like, reminisced about my life of, like, what it would be like if I grew up in London. But there was, like, this group of kids that, like, brought firewood to a public park and made a bonfire. And they weren't getting in trouble. And I felt so awkward because I was, like, with my older friends. We were, like, old friends. We're like, we're still doing this. But I was, like, looking at these teenagers and they were, like, dancing around the bonfire with, like, a boombox. Well, it's not a boombox. It's, like, now I just showed my age.
A ghetto blaster.
Yeah, some form of, like, Bluetooth speaker, not a boombox. And they were, like, dancing and everyone was, like, sharing cigarettes and doing rollies and, like, all these things. And I was like, what a fucking sick life. Like, when I was – well, also, I never know how old anyone is because everyone now just looks like they're my age. But they definitely were, like, maybe 14, 15. I was like, that is so nuts. Like, the freedom and, like what a fun – we never had – like, me and Sasha, I mean, we grew up on other sides of LA, but there was never, like, a place – other than, like, houses, but then you had to, like, sneak around your parents and shit. Like, there was never, like, a thing of, like, let's go meet at the park and get fucked up. Like, that sounds so fun.
You did have the Galleria.
I wasn't getting fucked up at the Galleria.
It was, like, a mall in the valley.
It was, like, a mall. But, yeah. Like, all, like, looking at, like, I mean, they probably thought that I was psychotic because I literally sat on a blanket
and watched
stare
them.
at these teenagers and just wished, like, upon a star that, like, that was, like, my life. But, like, did your parents just let you go out all the time?
No.
Did you have that freedom?
No, they were quite strict. I lied all the time. And also, like, I didn't because I didn't know boys or anything, because I do see those teenagers quite a lot, and I think went in, like, London parks or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, that was not my experience. Because also I was a suburban kid. There's quite a massive divide in England. Like, if you were a kid who grew up in the suburbs of London, it's like you didn't grow up anywhere near London. It's like you're the most provincial person ever. If you have that experience, your whole life will be like sitting in video game parlors and Odeons and shopping centers and shopping malls. Whereas, like, if you're a London kid, when I meet adults now, like, the singer Dua Lipa is a fine example of this. Like, the minute I saw Dua Lipa for the first time and heard her voice, I was like, I just knew exactly what London school she went to, because it's like, yeah, it's like a type, if you grew up in London, like central London, there's like a type of confidence and like weariness that you have forever. So like when I got to uni, me and all the other suburban kids were just like so excited about like, you know, not having a bedtime and eating what we want or whatever. And the London kids would show up that grew up in London, and they'd already like gone through their heroin phase at 15. Or do you know what I mean? They'd already like...
Skins.
Yeah. But do you know what as well I relate to with that, Alana, is like, I just went on holiday with my friend Sabrina, and she was like me, like such an uncool teenager. And we were sitting in a hotel, and there were these three teenage boys with their family. And they, one of them in particular, looked a bit like Eminem. He must be about 15. He was so beautiful. And he was the kind of boy that I would have like lost my mind to if I'd been on a family holiday and I'd seen him. I would have like followed him around and been mental and like written about him in my diary and then gone home and lied to all my friends and told them that I had a relationship with him. And the whole holiday, I didn't, something inside me, the teenage girl is still so alive inside me that like, I obviously wouldn't have made a move on a 15-year-old, but like I kind of was looking at him the whole I could so easily remember how in love I would have been with that kid.
Yes.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like we just like, because we are all cut from the same cloth, like we didn't have that. Like, that's why we always ask, like, were you cool in seventh grade? Because I am just so fascinated of like, what would it have been like if I turned to a dude in seventh grade and I was like, I like you. And he goes, I like you back. Like that didn't happen until I was like in my late teens.
No, but that is a movie. It's like, I guess that's 13 going on 30, but it's sliding doors, but with, you know, if you were cool. I think about this constantly, because also I would have lemonade stands because I thought that was a way to get the boys. And so Layla and I would like set up shop in front of the beach over the summers, and we would wear like our cutest bikinis, our little tummies hanging out, but we didn't know we had tummies. Like we had no idea. We were so, we just thought we looked hot. We'd have our little like bucket hats, and like we thought we were so hot, but because I burn very, very easily. It was like 30 minutes in, and I was like to Layla, who tans, is like olive skin. I look at her and I was like, I think I'm getting a little pink, and she was like, no, you're fine, we need to stay. So she was determined that we were gonna get the boys this way. Cut to, it's an hour later, I'm bright red, sweating.
You're a lobster.
I'm like feverish. Aww. I'm like, Layla, I think we really
You're blistering.
I think it's time to pack up and go. I don't think the boys are coming. And she was like, Sasha, just 30 more minutes. And I'm like, Layla, 30 more minutes? I'm going to be dead. You'll no longer have a best friend. But I, to this day, if any 14-year-olds are listening, I just want teenagers to like me. I don't want them to think I'm old.
I want them to think I'm cool.
And like when I speak to 14-year-olds, the way my voice changes, just as it did in seventh grade when talking to boys, I like kind of like put on like a cooler voice. I do the same. And I'm talking to kids, and because I am up on TikTok, I'm like, that's the only thing kids talk about, right?
No, same. That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna be like, what's on your guys's algorithm? And they're like, ew, you're old as fuck, get out of here.
What's on your guys' algorithm?
Ew, are you on TikTok? That makes me want to delete the app.
I know, they're like, actually, we have a flip phone now, because that is what's gonna happen. It's a 14.
I'm like, hey guys, do you want to learn a TikTok dance? And they're like, ew, no one does that anymore. And you also don't know how to dance.
Actually, Alana is a very good dancer. Alana, you're a very good dancer.
But me and Sasha talk about this all the time. And look, I will preface this with everybody on this call right now. We are hot young ladies. I am not saying that we are old at all. We are hot on the town. We are doing our goddamn thing. We are successful hot ladies.
I'm not wearing a bra.
Look at you.
But what I will say is I am have gotten to the age where I'm so scared of young people.
Yeah, me too.
I am so scared of them. I just, again, it's what Sasha said. I want them to like me. Yeah. I want them to think that I'm cool.
Okay, really quickly, on Licorice Pizza, when we went.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so Alana, I was in a little scene with Alana. We go.
Oh, by the way, I just have to say, I don't know, everyone says this, but I just have to say it. I loved that movie so much. But sorry,
carry on. Oh, thank you.
It's so good.
Thank you very much.
It's so good. She's a star. Okay, so we were, we were on set the Friday before we shot just to like, I think it was just a, I don't even know what it was.
Like a rehearsal?
A rehearsal. Like, I don't know movies. I'm like, what is a rehearsal?
What is this?
What's camera A? What is camera B? so we got to set an Paul had not hired. I think they were all Pearl's friends, Paul's daughter, but
yeah, his daughter's
he
friends.
Had, you know, there were a bunch of 13, 14, 15 year olds because we were in the locker. It was like a locker scene. And so we were by the lockers. It was literally like Alana and I were in high school again. They weren't looking at us and talking to us. And we were all in the locker, like by the lockers. And Alana and I were like clutching each other because it was so scary.
That's
and
real.
It was like Night of the Living Dead. I was like, Sasha, they're different than us. They're different. They don't know what AIM is. They don't know.
But even with this podcast,
they don't remember dial-up internet. They don't remember what it is. They were not around for it.
Before this podcast, Alana and I were like, you know what? Gen Z is obsessed with millennial culture, so they're going to love this podcast. Cut to, it's like every millennial being like, God, this brings me back. I love this. And no Gen
Z. And not one person from Gen Z. Not one person.
No, we've got to let it go. We've got to let it go with the Gen Z. They're not. I've tried really hard. Like, I'm quite obsessed with Gen Z, actually. But they are not obsessed with me.
I know, same.
I know. And I'm also going to start calling it Gen Z.
Is it Gen Z? Do you know what, I'm going through this, like, weird existential thing at the moment. So I'm turning 35 this year. And I've moved into a new flat last year. And the two people who live next door to me, who I see all the time and I'm really close to them, is a single mum and her daughter, teenage daughter, single mum. And I worked out the other day that I am exactly halfway between both their ages.
Oh my God.
And it's really strange. And something else that I've noticed is I talk to the teenage girl like she's my contemporary. And because I still feel like her. And she's a bit like, why is this like old lady talking to me about like groovy videos on TikTok or like like cute pictures of my cat, whatever. She's just like, that's nice, go away. And then what's weird is her mum talks to me like she's 34.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's really strange. And I'm a bit like, I don't know how to like deal with these problems that we're talking about. I don't know. Like, but she, so there's obviously some sort of like lag in our heads of where we perceive we are.
So where do you feel in your heart? 13, 14?
No, I think I feel in my heart, I feel like the moment that my life began was just like the moment I left school. So in my heart, I will always be 17 because that just,
great.
I kind of feel like everything before 17 was like a very formative and tragic and I suppose interesting, but I don't find it like, I could have done without it. It's like an epilogue to my life. Sorry, like a prelogue to my life. Like, I don't really think of my life beginning until I left school.
Well, when was your first kiss? Or first... Me being like, when was your first dance? When was your first kiss?
I just saw Dolly have a panic attack. When was your first kiss, Dolly?
No, I love talking about that. I'll talk to you about my virginity. I love talking about that.
Yes,
so,
wonderful.
So I did that. I mean, look, I wasn't swimming in opportunities for that, and so there wasn't, you know, if I'd had the opportunity in my mid-teens, I would have done it. No one wanted to do it with me, but I had this real thing about like, I've got to fuck before I'm 18. Like, if I am 18 and I haven't fucked, I like, that will be the rest of my life. So I lost my virginity 1 week before my 18th birthday. I just got it
Mazel.
Like under the wire. And again, like, I know this isn't cool to say. The minute I started shagging, again, my life began. I just felt like...
Oh, amazing.
I agree.
I feel the same way. So you were 7 to, you were a week, so it was August 24th.
Yes, if you would like to, if you'd like to us to gather and celebrate it this year, I would
love to celebrate it. I celebrate the day that I lost my virginity every year. I celebrate it every year. I mean, I don't like, it's not like a party. It's just like, I drink. Let's have a party that this in August. We're all going to be back here in August. And we're going to drink to you losing your virginity. Yeah.
Can I ask you two, as two girls that were like from, because we're from the same vinegar mother, what ages were you when you lost your virginity? Is that too much of a personal question?
Oh, no.
No. I was 17.
Guys, I was... This is a humble brag. No, it's a brag. I was 15.
Dang.
I can't.
I will say that I had the same thought process as you, Dolly, where I was like, all my friends had already lost their virginities. Like, I was like, if anything, everyone was like... What are you waiting for? I mean, I didn't have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I had a boyfriend when I was a sophomore, and he actually broke up with me because I wouldn't ship him. So that sucked.
Oh, no.
I know it sucked.
And now we are people pleasers.
And now we are people pleasers. I'll do whatever you want because don't abandon me.
I'm the same.
But when I ended up dating this other guy when I was 17, and it was I was like, this is it, this is happening. And I'm honestly so grateful to him because he was very sweet to me, and I was, you know, very, it's a very scary thing to go through.
It is.
But I look back on it very fondly. I was like, I had a very good experience, which is very nice to have, you know. I mean, after that boyfriend, everything went downhill.
Yeah, I had exactly the same. And do you know what? Like, I've always been someone who is like too aware of time. I think like, I wish I could rid my obsession with time. Like, I'm very aware of, I feel like when I'm experiencing every experience, I'm already experiencing it as a nostalgic event. I'm already imagining it. Yeah. And I also have it of like, and then I'm worrying about the future repercussions. I feel very dictated with time. And I knew when I was like losing my virginity, I knew like, this is important. Like, this is going to be something that you talk about and defines you, and you will, of all the fucks in your life, this is going to be the one you remember, like in the care home when you have dementia. And I'm really glad that he was really nice, and I'm really grateful for that.
But isn't it so funny that you're like, thank God he was nice, because literally all the dudes that I shipped after that were such fucking assholes.
Same, yeah.
I was like, thank God. I had that person, because literally everything went downhill.
No, of course. Yeah. Why I love your writing so much is because it's so nostalgic. And I think me messaging you all the time like a freak. Dolly and I have
loved it. And I remember what you messaged me. And I hope you don't mind me mentioning this on the podcast, because I've since told people who are obsessed with like time and memory and the past and nostalgia, which is like a sickness that I have. Sasha, you told me about the time travel perfume trail.
I haven't told any of the listeners this, but I'm going to tell everyone this right now. I am so obsessed with nostalgia and I am so obsessed that I assign a new perfume to a period of 3 to 6 months so that when I'm 90, I can time travel. So I can smell a perfume
and
be like,
incredible?
Oh, that was the summer of 2014. Oh, that was 2018 breakup. Oh, that was. So I have, and I've been doing this since I was 18 years old. So that's 14 years of perfumes. And it works like a, like when I open Saks Fifth Avenue For Her by Bond Number 9, I'm like, oh, that's my freshman year, spring weekend. Took MDMA for the first time. Like, it is holy. And I've been
it's
doing
so
that
beautiful,
forever.
Isn't it?
And I'm,
yeah.
But this is why I love your writing, and why you're such, again, a perfect person to interview for our podcast, because you do remember so much, just like me and Alana. And those memories are so embedded in you to this day, and you still relate to the 13-year-old. And this is why we were both so excited to have you on.
Well, do you know what? You know, you're talking about that sliding doors of like, what would it be like if I was cool? That my most, I'm sure you wouldn't mind me saying this, my most recent boyfriend, an enormous disconnect between us was I'd never met anyone like him before, in that he has basically been the same person his whole life. So like, he's never, how he looks now is how he looked when he was 14. He's always been gorgeous. And this isn't to say he hasn't had difficulties in his life, but like, he's always been gorgeous. He's always had people want to go out with him. He's always been really good at sport. He's always like, he's just always found those sides of fitting in easy. And I would say to him, like, something that I find so romantic when you first start falling in love with someone is I want to get to know all the iterations of them that I never knew. So I want to say, like, show me the letters your girlfriend sent when you were 13. Like, tell me about your bar mitzvah. Tell me about what it was like to lose your virginity. Like, I want to know about all those girls that you're in love with. I want to know about, like, tell me about your favorite toy when you were a kid and all that stuff. And I have this, like, when I sat down with him when we were first dating, I was like, you know, like, heaved out the great big dusty old book of, like, let me tell you some stories about, like, all this person that you wouldn't recognize that I used to be. And he just couldn't give me the same. It was so strange to be with someone that when they were just like, yeah, I think who I was at, like, I don't really have this like shadow person of, yeah, like this past part. Like, it's always been kind of like how it is now. It was so weird. Insane. To me. I was like, what would life have been like if there was no, you know.
It's so out of reach for all three of us on this, yeah, call. So, yeah. Because it just wasn't what it is. Like, it's just not what it was. That is so wild. Ugh, you're making me want to fall in love again. Like, I haven't fallen in love in so long. Like, I'm feeling so nostalgic for love today. Usually I'm like a hard bitch that's like, I'm an independent woman. And today I'm going to walk through the streets. I'm going to go get coffee and like look at every dude and just be like, are you the one? Oh my God. Maybe you are the one. Should I save this coffee cup for when in my memory box for when?
One thing I will say, Alana, is like, you know, it takes up a lot of time, the old whimsical, nostalgic, imagining the present as the past, all that. I would just carry on being a hardened bitch. I wouldn't get all living in the dreamland. It takes up a lot of time.
It does take up a lot of time and energy. And
it is really interesting because I mean I talk about this also on the pod all the time that I'm in therapy. Thank God for therapy. But it is so funny, like, how I do always feel like I'm in seventh grade, but recently, like, since I've turned 30, it's like the first time. Well, now I'm 31. What am I saying? I'm 31 now. But when I turned 30, it was like the first time in my life that I felt older. Like, it was like I had done so many things and I was like reflecting back on my life. And like, I always kind of felt like the baby. I am the baby of my family, but like, when I turned 30, it was like, it did feel like this overwhelming chapter had ended, my 20s, and then 30 had begun. And it's so funny, like, now realizing like what's important. Like, I used to think what was important was like, I want to go out. I want, like, the dude that I'm with, I want him to be the life of the party. Like, I want to go out. I want disaster. I want chaos. I want us like rolling in the gutter. Where are we going to end up? Are we going to end up in South London? We don't fucking know. Like, let's fucking go. And now at 31, I'm like, oh, but like, I just want to cuddle. And like, I want to talk for a really long time. I'm like, I don't really need to go out. But it is like, I'm feeling, I don't know, maybe there's something in the stars now. I'm feeling very...
It's happening.
I'm feeling nostalgic for, that initial feeling of, like, you meet someone and you get so fucking giddy.
Yeah.
And,
it's
like, you actually feel like you're falling down a rabbit hole. Like, yeah. I wish I could bottle that in a perfume. God damn.
Well, you can. You can.
Well, you know what?
You can if I start right now.
Do you know what? Two things I have to say on that is, first of all, if you are ever in London... and you want someone to talk to endlessly and cuddle you, I'll give you my number, Alana, because I would love
Yay!
To satisfy
I'm
that.
I'm so down.
And then the other thing that I want to say that my friends say to me, which is like, I always just find so soothing is, you know, you have that, like, having hope that you're going to have that feeling again, that amazing feeling. It's such an enormous burden to carry some days, like hoping when you're not seeing how that could happen, like walking around with that hope feels so heavy. So my friend said to me once, she was like, I know that that's going to happen for you, like that's in your future again. She's like, if you don't want to like hope that, if it's too hard to hope that, she's like, I'll take your hope and hold it for you, and then like I'll give it back to you when you're ready to believe again. And like
that
until
is
then
love.
I'll yeah. So we can hold
I'm
your
cry.
We can hold your hope for you, Alana.
That is the most romantic
God,
thing
hope.
I've
my,
ever
hold
heard.
Hold my hope for me. Oh my God.
That
I'm gonna
is
cry.
Beautiful.
Women are just so intense and I love it.
I love it. We love it. We're
oh
so
God.
Intense.
I feel like that's a beautiful, I feel like that's it. That's a beautiful fucking cherry on top to this episode. That is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard
oh my
in
God.
My life. Aww. Danny, our producer, is crying.
Oh, Danny.
Oh my God.
Danny's fully having a minor panic attack. She's you've literally daggered her in the heart. She's having it's an emotional time. Oh my God. Honestly, the thing that I just want to thank you so much, not for only being on this podcast, but like you honestly unlocked something so vulnerable, I think, in both me and Sasha.
Oh, yeah.
I think we grew on this podcast today.
Oh,
which we
guys.
Usually never do.
I've loved it, and honestly, like, thank you for having these conversations and putting them out in the world, because that time, you know, for all that I've said, like that it was my life didn't begin until I left school and until I started like living as a woman, like that it was a prologue to my life, like a huge amount of my therapy that I have to do is like accept that, yes, in my like cognitively I may think of that as the prologue, but I've got to embrace that time and those and that girl and those experiences and the sadness of it, because it is a part of me and it's a part of all of us. And I just think the best way to deal with that is to bring it into the light and like talk about how ridiculous it was and laugh at it in a way that can feel like affectionate as well as like thank fucking God it's done.
Totally. That's
yes.
what we try to do. Thank you so much,
Dolly.
Oh
my gosh, Dolly. I really, this is like the fastest an episode has ever flown by.
Yeah,
actually.
This was...
I looked at the clock and I was like,
I know,
it's
shocked.
Already a fucking hour? How the
I'm
fuck
shocked.
Did that happen?
Thank you so much for joining us. We are the luckiest ever Ooh. That you decide that
honored.
You agreed to this. I mean,
thank
huge
you so
fan.
Much.
Thank you so Aww. Much. And let's all meet up. And
I would love
Let's
that.
Let's all toast you losing your virginity
yes.
this year.
Let's
August.
Do it. August, we will be
on
in
your
a
anniversary.
Park.
August.
We'll be in a park in yeah. London holding tins of beer around a bonfire with a Bluetooth speaker. I
yes.
cannot wait.
Done.
With a boombox.
With a
boombox. Let's
box.
Actually, let's just get a boombox.
With a boombox.
thank you so much, Dolly.
Thank you, my darlings. I loved that.
Thank you for listening to Free Period, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Bye!